Well, welcome back to the last podcast for 2024.
Yes, I hope everyone's recovered from the cleaning of the living room with all the presents and got all your returns done.
Oh no, the returns have just started. you have yet to find out those pants don't fit. They're probably still in the box or folded on your bed someplace. But if you're smart, you will save those bows and those bags for next year's use.
Oh, I mean, we have bags that have circulated our family for over a decade now. We have the bags with little to from tags that just get sticked another one on top of it. And that one year we pulled it back, it was an entirely different family.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pat and Rob and us have been exchanging bags with each other for going on 16 years. Mm-hmm. One year, I was in charge of boxing some things with bags. And the from was one person, the to was another person, but things were reversed, so I just did a arrow with the kind of the Uno thing.
It's a little remix.
Yeah, right. You'll figure it out. You'll get it.
I'll tell you. Just it's you. Don't worry about the name.
So hopefully you have enjoyed your Christmas time. If not, Merry Christmas and enjoy your time off as well. So we're focusing on Happy New Year. Now what? Mm. The gym memberships will be in the mail, I'm sure. You know, whole forests full of leaves being turned over for resolutions happen this time every year. But we want to talk about trying to find direction when the future feels unclear. Like, I don't know about you, but I was never really big into resolutions, you know, to set one that sometimes felt like it was going to be in 3 months, I won't be doing that probably. And we've gone through the phase of, you know, write them down, but more of a, you know, kind of permanent thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you and I were talking earlier about this past year felt the fastest year ever. I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older. At this rate, if that is true, then years will start clicking off like a weekend as I get older. But you got me started thinking about, well, how are you going to, you know, approach this year, 2025, when you really don't know what to plan for? No goals or visions, or don't have anything in mind just yet. What do you do then?
Yeah. I mean, this is always the pitfall that we run into, the idea of, like, you can create a list of resolutions or personal goals at any point in the year with the best of intentions, but, you know, you have no idea what is planned for that year. I mean, we had been searching for a house for a long time, and I would have almost bet money that we weren't going to find a house within the last 2 years. We found one this past year and closed on it. And every amount of planning that I had, every little squirreling away of money, every like idea I had, like, oh, we're going to do this to make it easier to move. For every one of those, it was about 10 things that went wrong, different, didn't happen the way I wanted to, kind of thing. Right. So it's always hard when it comes to planning when you're not sure. Now, there's some guys out there that are like, hey, I have a 5, 10, 15-year plan, and I'm hitting that thing, you know. Mm. But I often hear more of, well, I planned this, and this is not how I envisioned this going.
Yeah, those guys who have that 5, 10, 15, those goals must be so generic. Mm. Like, I'm going to learn something new in the next 5 years. Because, one, I think it's a bit naive. I mean, the Bible even has a section about the rich ruler, right? I'm going to build new barns. Because, obviously, I got too much business, too much wealth. I just need new. And then all of a sudden, your soul is required of you this day. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happening in the future. Only God does. And so, how do we plan and embrace the season of uncertainty? Mm-hmm. I think I've been in job reviews. It's been quite a while ago. And the person would ask me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, I can't plan 5 days from now, let alone 5 years. And ironically, the last time I was in a review like that, the person asked about the five-year plan kind of thing. And then the next day, Hurricane Katrina hit, and our life was different ever since then.
Sure.
So you can see how well that five-year plan went, because I didn't know it was happening. Mm. I wasn't handed that map of Katrina until I walked out of the office back to my desk, and the lady said, oh, this is the map of the hurricane in case you want it. And then it was different since then.
Yeah.
So when we don't know what's next, it can be tempting to stand still, right? You're like, I don't know what to do, so I probably should do nothing.
Right. I don't want to build anything or work towards anything if it's not going to come to fruition.
Sure. But God often uses seasons of uncertainty to teach us to trust him. So this segment here is about learning to lean on God when the future feels unclear. And I would say that part of the country feels a little uncertain after election season. Even people who, you know, like, well, okay, I'm still waiting for the economy to get better or whatever, those test results to come back clean. So trust that season that you're in. Sometimes not knowing is part of God's plan. Mm. Uncertainty can create space for deeper faith. I mean, if you knew that on your way home today, you're going to get into a car accident and break your arm.
Right.
I think you'd be a little hesitant to drive home.
Yeah.
Right? So there's probably a whole lot of blessing in not knowing what's around the corner and in trusting God in that.
Yeah, I mean, that applies to so much. I mean, we live in a world that's full of risks and things that can go wrong. I mean, whether that's, you know, in the dating game of like, well, hey, if you know you're dating this person who could eventually cheat on you, would you still want to put yourself in that situation, even though you're growing from that in that respect? You know, Heather used to work as an accountant, spent all those years in college to go to be an accountant, to get to me so we can get married, and then never touch it again. Do you think if she told her, like, told her in that moment, it's like, you're going to spend 5 years studying to be an accountant, and you will never use that information.
Only to meet Joshua.
Yeah. Like, do you think that she would want that? You know, so I often find it interesting with the paths that we take in life often are so full of, well, if I had known what I was getting into by taking that step, taking that job, moving across the country, dating that person, buying that house, I wouldn't have done it. And then you wouldn't have seen God's providence through that.
Sure, sure. That's, I think that's everybody's life, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people are aware of it or embrace it, but that is exactly it. You know, taking small steps forward can lead to big things, right?
Yeah.
And even when the next big step is not clear, praying, connecting with others, looking for small ways to grow, sometimes prepare us and mature us for that next step. What happens if the next step God has for you, for us, we're not ready for yet?
Right.
And we think, well, what's next? I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I want to plan my thing out. God says, you're not ready for what's next. Mm. Right? You want meat and you can't handle milk. So sometimes we have to mature right where we are before we start making lists and plans and taking surveys to find out what fruit I am. You know, like, oh, I'm an orange today. I'm an orange. You know, asking God to guide our hearts and not just our plans is something that I bet is not on people's lists. When you're making that list of the year, you're not like, I want to seek God's will for my life this year. Yeah. It's, Lord, I want to double my income. Mm. I want that car that I've been trying to save for, or I want to lose that 20 pounds, or whatever it is.
I want that spouse.
A spouse. It's never direct my steps.
Yeah.
And so God often directs us inwardly, preparing us before showing us the next step outwardly.
Sure. I mean, there's so much that you learn as a Christian and a human in general that, you know, when you're going through this process of just living, that there are things that I've learned over the years in, you know, relationship-wise with friends, family, and loved ones, to business-oriented and financial, that I would not have gotten there if I had not gone through all those valleys.
Oh, sure.
So I think it's the thing of like, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. And so we pray for these things like, well, hey, Lord, I want a spouse. And it's like, okay. Lord's like, you want that spouse? Buckle up, man. We're going to round you off a little bit. It's going to be real rough. We're going to grind you down to make it you the best person for your spouse, right? Right.
So, you know, what happens with my, you're great. You want a spouse? Perfect. Your wife wants someone who is mature in their faith.
Right.
Like, whoa, wait a second. I just said I wanted a spouse. He's like, yeah, I understand what you said.
Yeah.
This is what I want for you.
Right. So when you are praying for wisdom in those moments, that's probably much easier to take in stride rather than, well, Lord, I prayed for my Lamborghini. You didn't tell me I had to like work all these grunt jobs just to get to the partner position so I could afford the car, you know? So changing focus from instead of goal oriented to how can I live every day better than my last, glorifying God through all of it.
Right. I imagine, I wonder, you look at that list of things that we create for our own selfish wants. Mm. If we did spend that time maturing, would that list look different after maturity? I think it would.
Sure.
You know, because maybe it wasn't so self-centered. Maybe it wasn't so materialistic. You know, it's more like, well, I want to be a good communicator. I want to be a better husband, dad, and leader. I want to do this. I want to, you know, spread the good news. Versus, I want that Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the challenge is taking a few moments to pray, asking God to help us embrace this season, whether it's unplanned or not. Mm-hmm. We don't know, or rather than when we're seeking clear answers, focus on finding peace and trusting Him in that process. And that's challenging because they're planners out there. Mom's a planner. I'm a bit of a planner too. I like to know a little bit, although then I'll let kind of want to see where it goes after that. But there are people out there that I am not going to make a step toward that next one until I know exactly where I'm stepping.
Yeah.
And that's challenging because that's, was it paralysis by overanalysis? You know, yeah. You get to a point where you're like, well, since I don't know the future, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
So hit up another Hallmark movie.
Right. Or you get the opposite where people are comfortable where they're at and they're like, okay, well, either God will put that person in my life, that house, that job, that whatever, and I'll just stand here, wait for it kind of thing. And so it takes massive changes in people's lives to make those steps. And the Lord's like, all right, you've spent too much time inside your bubble. It's time to kind of mosey on out there kind of thing. Man. But yeah, I think it's, you can get both sides of that, being afraid of taking that step. So you don't want to take it, or I'm too comfortable. I like where I'm at. I'm cozy and comfy. I know all the problems I got going on and I can handle those. I'm good, Lord. I don't need you to push me in X area.
Sure. And we're not saying that you got to like be like life's daredevil.
Yeah.
You don't have to be.
Don't jump the shark.
What is that character that Keanu Reeves played, Duke Kaboom?
Oh.
You don't have to be this guy, you know, Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah.
Because there are days that, I think it was like Tuesday, we hadn't been out for a little bit, and Dana's like, are we in for the night? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Still, I don't. That's fine. Being a homebody is a good thing some days. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm ready to get out.
You know?
So our scripture reflection is Psalm 37:5.
Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act.
The rest of that is, when we don't know what lies ahead, God asks us to commit our way to Him, trusting He is at work.
Yeah.
So, as we finish up our first segment here, be sure to check out some of our resources on uncommon.org. There's one called Rest Boldly. Can help you guide, help guide you in finding peace during times of maybe waiting and uncertainty.
Yeah.
So hang on for our word from our sponsors ahead, and we'll see you on the other side. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, welcome back to segment two of Happy New Year. Now what? It's stereotypical of, you see the gym crazy busy, the first quarter of the year. Everybody's fighting for machines. Are you finished with that? You wipe it down? Can I get a set here? I'm losing my pump. Right. There's you could work out on seven machines at once if you wanted to by July.
Yeah.
Because no one there besides them with the diehards. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if CrossFit experiences this. They're always like, you know, whole year long. But I know in gyms, like some YMCAs and that kind of stuff. That first part of the year, man, good intentions. Whew. There's good intentions on every machine.
Sure. There's plenty of people that I've heard that they'll purposely, even if they are like a gym rat, they'll purposely avoid the gym for the first like 2 months because like there's no point. I'm just going to go for a run. I'll do an at-home workout because there are going to be people in there that are just fighting over that one machine that they think, this is my ticket to the beach bod.
Right. So I haven't found that machine yet, unfortunately. Well, this segment is discovering what God might be preparing us for. Mm. So when our direction isn't clear, God may be using this season to prepare us for something, maybe specific. Mm-hmm. This segment explores ways to find purpose in waiting, recognizing that God often works in our hearts before He works in our plans.
Sure.
Not everybody likes that.
No.
Right? They're like, I would like to know that I'm doing this for a reason kind of thing. And so, you know, before we evacuated Katrina, just kind of, you know, and a good job, just that there was a ceiling. It was a small company. It was a great company, just that it was very small. There's really no place to advance. And it required a Katrina moment that lasted 2 years, that moment, by the way. Katrina moment for us to, for me to grow enough to start Studio 490. And get to a spot to take over Uncommon. Mm. And so looking back, you're like, man, thank God for Katrina. And we even have a blog about that titled exactly that. Thank God for Katrina. People in Western North Carolina can't see that yet.
Sure.
There may be some thank God for, you know, Helena at some point in someone's future. And so those kind of plans, you're like, well, I had plans. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff worked out, or I didn't anticipate that. So prepare instead of plan. Use this time to strengthen your faith and strengthen relationships and grow in areas that you feel led. You may find that, could you handle a big life change? Mm. You know, we always like, well, I got these plans, I got the 5, 10, 15-year plan kind of thing. Sometimes we plan things that we know are safe increments. I don't think Jonah knew he was going on a 3-day cruise before God called him to go to Tarshish, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest commonality of, you know, most of the people that were called in the Bible by God is they did not know what was that next step.
I mean,
Joseph did not know he was going to slavery. I'm sure Moses did not imagine, you know, leading the Israelites in the desert for that long and not getting a step in the promised land. Like, so many of these stories has that one thread of they didn't know, but they trusted God to get them through that. And I'm sure I look at the Israelites a lot because it's like, that's us of God got you out of Egypt, got you out of slavery. Mm-hmm. He's providing for you, yet you still can't trust him long enough not to build yourself an idol and something else and get all complainy, right?
Right.
And so...
That calf making machine.
Yeah. I mean, they just gave me gold and pop. I don't know, man. It's weird. I blinked and it's there. But like, this is the thing of like, we are so like drawn to glittery and glam things of sure. like everything from I want this, I want that, I want, you know, this house, that person, this thing, that it takes real intentionality to sit down and say, all right, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? Because I know plenty of people over my lifetime that I'm going to label them as just complainers. They like to complain.
Sure.
They want to be heard complaining. If they're not complaining about this, they're complaining about something that could happen later down the road. And like, instead of taking a moment to ask themselves that question of, all right, Lord, what are you trying to teach me with this thing? It's not fun. It's not great. I hate every minute of it, but what are you trying to teach me out of this? Because I mean, I can tell you from personal experience of, you know, with Heather's health, that was not fun for us to go sure. through financially, relationship, spiritually. Mm-hmm. But having stepped out of that, that's definitely taught us innumerable things that I don't think we would have gone through as a couple and gotten stronger in our relationship with each other and with God, with those around us, being better with budgeting and finances and stuff like that, just because we had to. And sure. that's something the Lord had to teach us through that moment. It sure is. It sure wasn't fun during the moments.
No,
you
it
know?
Did not. Yeah.
So, and was I like thanking the Lord? Like, thank you, Lord, for putting us in this position right here. I wasn't. It wasn't fun in the moment. And I can only say that now looking back on it. But as we talk about recently having her go through that surgery again and getting the clean bill of health afterwards, it was easier to handle it this time because we had been through it once before.
Sure.
And I now am trying to be intentional about what's the Lord trying to teach us in these moments as opposed to just being, well, I'm going to complain about it. It's not going to help anybody. It may make me feel a little better because I'm like, oh, woe is me.
Sure.
But nothing lasting other than, oh, man, this sucks. You know what? Eeyore had something right.
Well, now read Job. I would love to say that I'd have handled that a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I probably would have been, and I'll be real, I probably would have been a little bit like, you know, like the complaining.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? By the time the second or third servant walked in with them, you know what? I don't want anyone to hear it.
Yeah, just I'm not taking news. Visitors.
No, see me tomorrow. All his friends and everything. I mean, just, yeah, we all deal with that differently. And focusing on developing our character and our maturity, God often works in us before he works through us. And so asking him what qualities he wants to build in us during this season, I think pays off in the future.
Sure.
Right? So there's some things we just cannot handle. You can't be a leader of men if you don't know how to lead. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, wanting to get married when you're not ready to be a husband, that's a dangerous ask.
Yeah.
Right? And I think a lot of people we know that, you know, looking for their spouse, and you're like, there's some things that come with that, and I don't know if you're ready for that yet. And maturity takes time. It's not like, you know, okay, I've been dieting for an hour. I'm not even thin yet. So it takes some time, and if you are impatient, and there are times I can be, you don't want to hear none of that.
Sure. I mean, we talked about this earlier. Just because you're aging doesn't mean you're maturing. You know?
Sure.
It doesn't happen magically. You don't wake up one morning and you go, you know what? No. Now I got
I'm
it.
Mature
I understand
now.
It now. Yeah. That's silly old me. Like, it takes time, effort, and allowing the Lord to work in your heart to take those steps. Because, you know, these guys spent so much time in prayer with the Lord daily. Yeah. To make sure their heart aligned with him so that he could use them going these places and spreading the good word. That I think it's stupid for us to assume, oh, yeah, well, I got this. I just woke up today. You know what? I'm going to be mature now.
And even when they were told, like, you know, Moses, like, you know, all this stuff, the burning bush, it's not me. Mm-hmm. What you're saying, yeah, it's not me. And the Lord was like, nope, you're going to be sent.
Yeah.
Maybe you. And we'll use Aaron to help with talking if you need to be, kind of thing. And Moses said, okay. You know, I may not like it, and I'll probably learn to love it and grow into it. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes some maturity.
Yeah.
And so staying open to unexpected paths, that is sometimes the next step comes in a way that we don't expect, and keeping our heart open to new opportunities and listening for his voice. And that road less traveled, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this one, it's like, you know, we always talk about the Todd curse. The Todd curse, I'll let you in on it. If I'm in, getting ready to pick a line at, say, a supermarket, and they both look similar, there's two lines, and I get in one, woe to those people who are in that line with me.
Yep.
Because I've just stopped that for eternity. The other one, they're like Olympic sprinters. They're like, you know, the fast pass.
Mm.
And here's the magic. I switch lanes, presto mundo.
That one's not working, and this one's broken.
Yes, this one condemned. This one, my register is on fire. This one here, everything's free. Just go on by.
Yep.
I could bring a NASCAR race to a halt if I got in line. It's crazy. And it's weird. We tease about it, but you've seen me in line before. I'm like, what?
Heather thought I was crazy until we got married, and I was like, buckle up, because you now have the Todd curse. It's your last name. And she didn't believe me for the longest time until we kept going to one, I think it was like Hobby Lobby one day. I was like, watch this. And we did, and that happened. And she was like, I don't like this. I don't want this anymore. I was like, too late. No taxi vaxies.
Too late, Todd. Unexpected paths. Obviously, I guess you can call almost everything unexpected because you don't know the future. But things like, you know, a breakup.
Job change.
I just spent a little time in the ER with a kidney stone this past Saturday. Yay. unexpectedness is something that, you know, sometimes I fall into the category of, I don't have time for this mess, right? I got things to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so, unexpected paths. It's strange. Sometimes the next step comes in a way we don't obviously expect, but keeping our heart open to a new opportunity, that's what we're talking about here. Not really talking about, like, you know, hopefully never for you, kidney stone issues and ER, but things like, I just got laid off from my job.
Mm.
Now what? Great. I wasn't anticipating that.
Right.
I went in, I was working at a label corporation in New Orleans, and I put in for a Friday vacation. It's an afternoon kind of thing. I got a call from the vice president. He said, we just closed down the whole art department. I'm sorry, but you're let go. He didn't really say it that nice. He said, you're fired. Get out.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know. So, obviously very unexpected. You know, no warning, even though, like, companies sometimes want a 2-week notice. Mm-hmm. They don't give you that courtesy sometimes. Yeah. Unexpected, right? And so, but that put me on a path to find my next job, mm-hmm. and my next, which led here.
Mm-hmm.
And we called, you know, that broken road is hazardous, but sometimes beautiful.
Sure.
And so, the challenge here is to think of an area that you could focus on, like a relationship, a skill, maybe a habit, and use this time to build a foundation that will support whatever God has next.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, Happy New Year, now what? I mean, there's going to be things. You're going to experience something, good, bad, or in between. We always talk about being in the middle of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely are we at the very top, tippy top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And contrary to what all the complainers would say, you're rarely at the very bottom of the mountain. We spend most of our time in the middle, middle of the mountain, going up and down, passing each other, going, oh, how's your back? Oh, my ankle's broken. How about yours? You know, so, you know, getting to a spot where Paul knew there's going to be days after his probably third flogging and the boat issues and yes, I'm probably going to be bit by a snake near a campfire one day, probably, you know, so there's going to be things that come our way. How do we prepare our hearts and our walk with Christ for that?
Sure. Because if we can build that muscle up when we're not going through those storms or not as intense, we can lean on them in those times, because nothing harder than trying to like pale out water of a sinking boat, right? Sure. Rather than building some kind of system to help you through those problems and those storms. Because I can tell you as a guy, my first inclination is not immediately to take it to the Lord. And that is just, that's just human nature. It's not to immediately take it there.
Yeah.
But that is a habit that you can form over time. You're like, okay, I feel this way. I'm in the storm. I need to take the Lord first in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. We all had different ways we approached those things. I think only one works well.
Mm.
And I think as soon as we get in touch with seeking God's will and staying in the Word daily, as Andy Mineo says, if you stay ready, you won't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so our scripture reflection is Isaiah 40:31.
But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Mm. Amen. Well, on our website, we obviously have a ton of resources, and it's almost like we've been through some of this before. this one called Don't Call It a Comeback.
Mm.
I think we wrote this one of the beginning of the years, a while back. And on practical insights of growing in character, even in times of waiting. Mm. And it was probably around COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I hate having all these milestones. You want to pick an unplanned thing, COVID-19, there's one for you. So, be sure to check out our website, uncommon.org. We have a membership for all access to our content now. We have an annual option and a monthly option, and we're constantly writing content for this. And by the time this podcast comes out, we will have a new Devo Plus called Legacy Minded that just dropped at the middle of December. Now, as soon as I say that, some unexpected thing will happen and it will not be out yet, but rest assured, it is on its way. So, hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And whether you are a planner or you are a waiter, well, let's wait and see. Hope your new year, 2025, goes well.
Yeah.
So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.